famous Bill Henry Show, and welcome back. Yeah, we have with us this hour, Kirk Quedy and Guy Barton will be talking about, well, it's pretty heavy stuff. I mean, they're basically, it's getting hot and heavy, folks. What can I tell you? It's getting crazy. People are accusing each other of all kinds of things, all kinds of nasty stuff, all kinds of unpatriotic stuff. And Kurt and Guy join us from Charleston, West Virginia. They have concluded another session there at the West Virginia State House. Both of them state senators. And you're at Florida's tonight across from the state capitol. Kurt, good to have you on the line with us. How are things?
Oh, everything's going good, Bill. It's good to be with you.
And Guy Barton, I know, is with you this evening. We've got Guy on the line here in a moment.
Guy right now is finishing up, actually just paying a bar tab, to be honest with you. We're going to come back up, and we want to thank, can I make just a couple of thank yous, Bill?
Go ahead.
We want to thank Daryl Stanton, who is the owner of the club. We're going to go up VIP, and also John Carden, one of the other owners of the club, is going to go up to VIP with us here in just a moment. Here's our guys downstairs. You want to say hello to them?
Yeah, put him on the phone.
Ethan, how you doing?
Guy, how are you?
Good. I'm all over. I play that. Play that one-on bandit. They've got them here. You know.
They put a one-on bandit in here, Phil, with the for limited use. It's not gambling per se, for charity. But a guy was over there having a roll at that.
I thought that one-on bandit over here. And I put a couple of dollars on it. They find out.
All right. Well, I wanted to get both of you guys on the phone here this evening. And can you hear me well? Because I know you're in the midst of a little bit of a party, huh?
Well, I'll be happy to tell you what the party is about, and it's a party to celebrate President Barack Obama standing up, I think, like a man, pushing forward on the agenda of health care like he said he would. He passed Obamacare like a man and not like one of these, look to me like a scared little schoolboy, you know, like Republicans do.
I think that's thank you very much, Kurt. Phil, if I can make a point on that, I thought Barack Obama has sort of manhood. You can look at all these little boys, Republican little boy, and all the little boys out there, and I heard the gentleman talking about that gigantic baby. To me,
that's a very good point.
To me, the Republican looked to me like the gigantic baby.
What do you mean, the giant baby on the nationwide spot?
We heard a gentleman on your program a few, not too long ago, he say, look at that gigantic baby and scare him, you know. Well, I've never seen a man look like he's ready to go ahead and drop one like this man, Mr. Boehner, did the other night after they voted to shut the government down. He did not look like a happy man. He looked like a man who's being led around with a ring through his nose by the members of the Tea Party caucus. So I think tonight, as a Democrat, whether we work in a state house, whether we work in a nation capital, no matter where we work tonight, we are celebrating manhood and standing up for the voters and for the people of this country and not pretending like you're standing up for people when, in point of fact, all you're doing is trying to upset an apple cart for a handful of fanatics in Washington, maybe back in your home district.
All right, so let's talk a little bit here about your problem with Rick Perry. Guy, you were the one who sort of pointed this out.
Yeah, Rick Perry, the governor of Texasville. Rick Perry is a disgrace before a man, before God and country. Rick Perry said that health care was a felony. He said a criminal act. And then the only time that kind of rhetoric had been used.
By the way, I want to say a man on TV right now. Do you know this man, Judd Gregg, a former senator of New Hampshire, Judd Gregg?
I know who he is, yeah.
Yeah, this is the guy who is the lowest form of life on earth. President Obama named this man to the cabinet, and he turned around and used that appointment to the cabinet to embarrass the president. And I think that he got what he deserved, got his ass kicked out of U.S. Senate, the lowest form of life on earth.
I'm not going to go on down that path. You know, I don't want to go on down there, you know.
I'll go down there. I don't mind going down there.
You're talking about Judd Gregg, the former senator of New Hampshire. He'd been appointed to the Interior Post, right?
Yeah, he'd been appointed to the Interior Post by President Obama, who wanted to have an inclusive cabinet. But the Republicans decided they make a joke out of that, you know. And it was Lincoln that President Obama...
Lincoln, but I don't think President Obama thought he Lincoln.
What's your story with Judd Gregg? You two guys buddies? You two guys butt buddies or something like that?
Yeah, I'm calling a butt buddy with Judd Gregg. You know.
Well, okay, why are we talking about Judd Gregg?
Well, we're talking about Judd Gregg because Judd Gregg is an example of the lowest form of life there is in the United States. Used to be United States Congress. He got sent down the road by the voters in New Hampshire that told him, you take your act, your lying, thieving, scum-sucking...
See, that's the very thing we try to avoid, you know.
I understand that, but, you know, you got a man like this, this Judd Gregg, he's a thieving, lying, scum-sucking dog. You know, that man's a dog.
See, Phil, we're trying to avoid that kind of rhetoric.
All right, let's calm down a little bit. Are you guys, I'm sorry to have to be redundant. You can hear me.
Yeah, I hear you real good. You know, no problem.
But we're in the VIP room. What you're hearing is a little tiny speaker here. It sounds loud, but it's all good.
All right, we're talking with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton in Charleston, West Virginia tonight at Florida's, which is a dance club across from the state capitol there. And we're discussing specifically, we want to get into Rick Perry's statements that the Obamacare, that the Affordable Care Act, whatever the hell people want to call it, which of course we found to our amusement, that people think they're two separate acts,
Well, what's that tell you? It tells you the Republicans done a good job of confusing the living hell. They don't want nobody to understand this act. It's the Republicans want people to misunderstand it. Because if they misunderstand it, the Republicans are doing good. If they understand it, the Republicans ain't doing good. They're going to lose. You take this scum-sucking dog I'm looking at on the TV, right? That man's a dog. You know?
Now, go get off on that, Judd Gregg. Now, come on now. You know?
Well, I know that guy. He's not a butt buddy of yours.
Hey, what you mean, butt buddy? He is not a...
What's the problem with Judd Gregg?
Yeah, what is the problem with him?
I got no problem with Judd Gregg. Every time I see that dirty, filthy, scum-sucking dog... All right.
You know, I think that you're hurting yourself, Kurt, if I may, by calling that man those names, because this is exactly what you're trying to avoid. This is why you came on the program tonight, you know.
That's exactly Phil's right. That's exactly right. We don't want to turn into what they are.
Well, I understand that, you know, but this is a very important fight that we're in the middle of, and when you take these very trivial fools, and I think I have to say, Phil, I'm sorry about saying the things I said, but I want to say these are trivial fools that don't understand, and fanatics that don't understand the fight we're in to try to bring down that health care, trillions and trillions of dollars, going to try to bring that down, you know. Y'all can't understand my feelings.
I understand your feelings 100%, but as we said, no sense in engaging in the kind of extreme rhetoric that you're trying to avoid, that you feel has been engaged in our country of late. All right, we're going to be back here with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton from the state capitol there in Charleston, West Virginia, as we continue discussing with them, and we'll get into discussing with them, Rick Perry's comments that the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, is a criminal act, is a felony against the young people of this country. That's the kind of language that hasn't been heard in this country for over 100 years, before the Civil War. Those are the kinds of extreme and frightening things people were saying. Rick Perry cannot possibly be a very intelligent man when he says things like this. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, back with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton here. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico, baby. This is where we broadcast this thing each and every night. On the line with me from the West Virginia State Capitol is Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton, and they're over there at Florida's this evening as they're holding forth. It's a little bit of a party, and I think it's kind of interesting that, and I don't see any problem with it. I think that the idea of partying to celebrate the Democrats doing the right thing, I guess, is although, Kurt, you put it a different way. You said celebrating the Democrats manning up, huh?
Oh, yeah, I think that's exactly what we are celebrating. We're celebrating manhood.
That's Billy. That's all about manhood, you know.
Yeah, we're celebrating manhood. And a man, you know, it doesn't take manhood to stand there and say, I don't want this to happen. And you say, well, why don't you want it to happen? When you already had a fair fight, you had a vote, you had a United States Supreme Court weighing in, you had a both houses of the Congress, the United States President signing into law, you had a fair fight. Straight up, you got your ass kicked. Now you can't stand up like a man and take it. You got to act like a little tiny child, you know, and say, well, I'm going to dig my heel in on that. You know, if they want that ass kicking again, I think they'd want that away.
Yeah, Phil, that's exactly the point. They're looking for another ass kicking. They're going to get another ass kicking. It's the same as that, you know. I don't know what they're...
Yeah, but see, isn't this the rhetoric you guys are trying to avoid?
No, no, no. We talk about ass kick.
You're talking about, Phil, let's get into what Rick Perry said, okay?
That's exactly what I want to do. I want to hear what it was that Rick Perry said, and then what you guys are, what your counter to that is.
All right, well, I know, guys, you made some statements today on the floor of the state senate here, what we call old Jimmy. That's the state capitol here. What'd you say, Ellen?
Well, I said Rick Perry, who was the governor of the state of Texas, great state. And I don't know, you know this, Phil, but I'm originally from Rubidoux. I'm Louisiana all the way, 100%. I love Louisiana, I love the Cajun, and I'm a Cunard all the way.
That's right. I come from, also I'm from Louisiana. We are transplants here to West Virginia.
You're from Louisiana?
Yeah, both of us are, yeah.
I come from Rubidoux.
And I'm myself from Baton Rouge, the state capital, by way of the West Bank, New Orleans, Louisiana. So we both are Louisiana. But anyway, go ahead.
So the point I'm making here is that Rick Perry, he, the governor of the state of Texas, said that this is a felony. He said it's a criminal act. Now, that's a kind of, just as you pointed out, Phil, I think I'm very good. That's the kind of thing you say when you are trying to divide and you're trying to stir up and you're trying to make more violent the rhetoric and more violent the passion. Now, Rick Perry, he sees that man thinks he's so right. He thinks he is so right. He risks violent passions over this thing. He risks no more discussion. He risks no more reaching across the aisle. The Republicans are so hypocritical when they say they want to have a discussion and they engage in the kind of rhetoric that Rick Perry engaged in, talk about a felony, talking about a criminal act, and then they think I'm going to sit down, I'm going to talk to them. Rick Perry, Phil, you said it, dead from the neck up, he's the stupidest man that has, I think, ever risen to the office of governor of the state of Texas. They've had some very good men and good women at the governor and the high level of office in the state of Texas, but I don't think they've ever had in the state of Texas as stupid a man, as hypocritical a man, as vile an individual as is Rick Perry. And I think he's a dog. And
well, that's the damn thing. You didn't want me to...
Hold on. I think that man's a dog. The things he said...
That's the thing you didn't want me to say about Judge Gregg. You didn't want me to say that.
Judge Gregg. You gotta understand, Judge Gregg, a friend of mine, okay?
Aha! That's all the thing I'm trying to say.
See, that's what we were saying to you, Guy.
Yeah.
We were saying that it sounds like Judge Gregg's a friend of yours. You didn't want that kind of extreme rhetoric.
I'm not engaged in extreme rhetoric. I'm talking about the governor of the state of Texas.
Yeah, you just said to that man, you quoted me almost directly. You said, that man's a dog. That's exactly what I said, Judge Gregg.
Yeah, you said that, Judge Gregg, but I'll tell you, Rick, I didn't hear no Judge Gregg saying that's a felony. Oh, it's a criminal act. I did hear Rick Perry say that.
All right, so let me say this. Both of you guys are making a very good point. You're saying that on the one hand, the Republicans sit there across that table like they're ready to sit down and negotiate after engaging in some of the most violent rhetoric, some of the most extreme rhetoric, questioning patriotism, questioning people's loyalties, questioning Newt Gingrich with this American president thing. Newt Gingrich is begging for somebody to walk up to him, and I'm not saying this literally, I'm saying like congressman to congressman, let's say, equal to equal. One of these days, somebody's going to walk up to him at a cocktail party and punch him out for the stuff that he said.
That's exactly right. Talk about American president.
Well, Newt Gingrich is a kook. You have to understand, Phil, I don't worry about Newt Gingrich at all. Are you kidding me? That man... Newt Gingrich is a kook, man. He's way out there, you know.
All right, let me get a phone call in here. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. At the Joyful Union Congregation, where tonight they've just had a prayer meeting break up there. This is a meeting of some 70 different churches from across the West Coast. It is Pastor William Rennick on the line with us. And Pastor Rennick, always good to have you with us.
Bill, I want to, first of all, I'm sending out to the good men there in West Virginia. Very hearty. God bless you. Very good to talk to you, Kurt.
Pastor Rennick, good word to you, sir.
Yes, sir, Reverend. I'm right here.
I'm going to tell you. Dad, you're a good man, but you know, it's like what Kurt's saying, got to calm down, you know.
I'm calm down, but, you know, Pastor, what he was saying about Judd Gregg being a scum-sucking dog, you know.
Let me say something, Phil. I've listened to this conversation on the radio. I listen to Phil Henry's show all the time. Okay?
Yeah, you know that. I always listen on you.
All right, now, I want you all to listen to me. Now, look at here. You want to talk about a man being a scum-sucking dog. Being the lowest form of life on earth. You're talking about a man hadn't got the guts to stand up like a man and fight like a man. And where he get his, as you said, he take a whooping, and he come back crying like he want to have another, you know, like the fight wasn't fair, that kind of thing. I understand what y'all talking about.
And you know I believe in a way of peace, you know.
No, I understand that.
Can I say something, Pastor?
Yeah, go ahead, but I got a point I want to make here.
No, I understand that, Pastor. This is Kurt Queedy, Pastor. Look, Pastor William Rennick has been, I think, one of the people that has led us wisely in this path of conciliation and trying to give America a fighting chance, you know, against trying to deal with health care and all these things.
I would agree, yeah.
So your words, Pastor Rennick, are very wise, but when a man engages in the kind of violent rhetoric that a Rick Perry do, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I totally understand, but listen to me. I know all about Rick Perry. I know all about politics, everything. I'm sitting here at Joyful Union Congregation, my wife Claire, she talks to people. I only know one thing. I know the Word of God.
That's right.
Yeah. And you talk about a scum-sucking, low-lying dog. My wife and I, we went to the Middle East.
You're on down to Holy Land, right?
We went on down to Holy Land. And we had a whirlwind vacation down there. And I went there and we saw everything. We saw the Wailing Wall. We saw where Jesus was born, Bethlehem. We seen all that. And a bag of chips, too.
So you saw the whole Megillah.
Yeah, all of everything. And I, you know, prayed. And I prayed and I prayed. Now we come on back through London. It was that time that I was, and Clara's here. She can attest to that. I know you think I'm crazy.
I'm not crazy. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm very, very good.
Look at here. Listen. I stood there and I had a private audience along Clara. We had a private audience to Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, imagine that.
That's right. I knew then. And I said to Claire, there was a certain tension, you want to call it sexual tension, between myself and the Queen of England. And that's what I felt. Now, there's a man there, he called himself the Queen bodyguard, said, now you got to move on. I said, now that's a dog. That man's a dog. Because I had a sexual tension going.
That man was trying to protect the Queen of England.
I would never protect him. I wouldn't have hurt her on account of sexual tension. And that scum-sucking dog... At Buckingham Palace. Y'all ever been there?
I've never been to Buckingham Palace. I know all about it, though.
Yeah, I know about Buckingham.
Well, you know about Buckingham Palace? That scum-sucking dog told me to move on, get on, you know, get going, because a whole lot of other people want to come see the Queen of England. I said, there's a sexual tension going on. He said, I don't give a sweet you-know-what. And that I said, that man's a dog. Told me to get out of there. And,
okay, so, the point, Pastor Rennick, is what?
Here's no point, Phil. There's no point of what this fool is trying to say.
What are you talking about?
No. Phil, we have taken up your time. We have some prayer. We got a prayer breakfast due tomorrow morning.
Just give me the phone back,
will we? We have a prayer breakfast due tomorrow morning, Phil. And we very much thank you. And we want to have it.
Okay, I guess she's gone.
Well,
sounds to me like the phone, the line went dead.
All right, look, tell you what, guys, we'll be back with you. That was Pastor William Rennick. We have on the line with us here our good friends Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy from West Virginia this evening as we continue talking about Rick Perry and, you know, what their problem is with him. We just had Pastor William Rennick on the line there from Joyful Union in Bellflower, California. And what was that about, anyway?
Well, he was talking about, as he said, the scum-sucking dog bodyguard of the Queen of England that wouldn't allow the sexual tension. I don't...
Okay. Get him back on. Maybe we can have the pastor back on to explain. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Get a BSP, a backstage pass. Become a subscriber to our website, 5,000 hours, 5,000 hours of full radio shows at philhenryshow.com. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. I thought we were going to get on the screen there. If you're watching Phil TV in HD, we had a little Steve Bozell and Ted Bell poster there. You know, on Sundays, they do the pro game of the week at Phil TV. So if, you know, you're listening to our show, that's cool. But the fun and the frivolity doesn't end on Friday. Over the weekend, we have little events that occasionally take place on the weekend. And during football season, we have... the pro game of the week. Last year we did the Milwaukee Lion games, but that league is suspended. They don't have any operating capital. So, in any event, this year it is Ted Bell and Steve Bozell doing the pro game of the week. We will have them on later in the week to talk about that. So get a backstage pass. It is well worth it. We have with us Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. They are talking to us from the Florida Dance Club, a nightclub there in Charleston, West Virginia, and we're talking about some of the rhetoric surrounding the passage of Obamacare, the government shutdown. You know, it's just weird, man. The bill, I can't help but say what I'm saying, and that is that, yes, it was debated. Yes, it was passed. Yes, it was both houses of Congress. Yes, it was the U.S. Supreme Court. All of that stuff, you see. And because you don't like it, because what happened to the rule of the majority? It sucks, but not enough people agree with these guys in Congress that don't dig it. Are you people in Congress? Are you now going to claim that you have the right to turn back the majority and say, or to interpret what a majority is, or otherwise control the lives and the futures of people, even though you don't have the votes, man, you ain't got the number. Who the hell do you people think you are? And so to that end, I've got to agree with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton, who are on the line with us. Pastor Rennick has come back on. I don't know whether you got free eclair there, Pastor Rennick. You know.
You know, I wanted to. Claire, let me just say. Yeah, Phil, we have a prayer breakfast in the morning.
Oh, we got a prayer breakfast. Phil, I wanted to say one thing. I agree with everything you're talking about. And Kurt and Guy, I think they understand. Kurt, Guy, you don't mind if I come on here and just say a little something?
No, I think it's a good idea. We do have to get back. We have a on a VIP floor, you know.
Yeah, we got down on VIP.
No, I understand you're on a VIP. You in a VIP room?
Yeah, we're on a VIP room. We got all kind of service here. And I'm going to get down to it. You know, I won't get back to it, but I had a couple of things I want to say. But I'll follow up. You go ahead.
After you go ahead and say what you want to say.
Look. Phil, I know you're talking all about, and I agree with you, Phil, about the, about what has happened in the state, United States Capitol. I agree with you on Obamacare. I think that is wrong. I think that you said everything right when you said what happened to rule of majority, but I think what we're bypassing some things that I hope that would not be bypassed. I understand how important that is to you, but I was talking to you, and a moment ago, Claire come in. She understands. Claire is not fooling anybody. She know how important this is. I said to you, I was back in the Holy Land. Then I come up here to London, England. You understand what I'm saying?
You got a sexual tension with the Queen.
Yeah, but I was told by this dog. This man's a bodyguard. He said, you move on. I said, that man's a dog. I said that to a line of tourists.
Give me that phone.
Everybody drop that.
And you know that, all right, they have, you know, he's going to lay down. Pastor Rennick need to lay down. And I think that's only right.
Look, Claire, this guy, this Kurt Queedy, I want to make sure the pastor running okay. Is he all right?
Yeah, he's very, he's fine. You lay him down now.
Lay down, and I'll lay down when I'm dead, you know?
And we have one of our church guardians, and they're going to lay him down. He got to take a nap because we have an awful lot going on. I think he has flipped his lid. I think you can hear very clearly what's going on there.
Well, he's talking about this dog of a bodyguard. I don't understand. Claire, I thank you. I'm going to let you go, and thank you very much.
Phil, it's always my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, back with you guys are at the... Boy, it sounds like a lot of things are happening over there, Guy. Are you having a good time?
Yeah, we have a very good time, yeah.
We always have a good time here in Florida, but I wanted to follow up here on what Pastor Rennick said. I know you got some phone call you want to take, Phil, but Pastor William Rennick talked about that dog bodyguard. I ain't talking about that. You know, I'm saying the man's a dog, a scum-sucking dog, is the senator from New Hampshire, Judd Gregg. He is a pig, and I don't care, Guy. No.
Look at that. We are not... Definitely going to get accomplished now.
Okay, but you see, you've sort of lost the moral high ground there, Guy, when you said the exact same thing about Rick Perry, all right?
Rick Perry ain't no friend of mine, Judd Gregg, a friend of mine. Okay?
How'd that man be a friend of yours? He a lying dog, a scum-sucking dog. He lied to President Obama and said he's going to take that government post. I think he's an example of what makes this country hasten down the path to godless communism. You think Judd Gregg going to make this country a communist dictatorship faster than anything Barack Obama doing? I don't understand people talk about Barack Obama. You got a guy like Judd Gregg as a scum.
See, that's getting redundant now.
It's getting a little redundant, and it's getting very hateful. If you don't want to have the kind of rhetoric that we're talking about here, that's not very patriotic, that's very hateful, why engage in it?
Because I think there's some men deserving of it. I think the man is not deserving of it is President Obama. I think the thing he not deserving of is the great work he done on health care. President Obama, the very first president in the history of this country to put that health care question out on the table and to successfully present to the American people a plan. The American people accept that plan. And now we move on. And now all these here, Republicans, they don't want to have a black man make that change in the country.
That's not fair. You know, you're talking about your own race now.
Well, hold on. I don't give a damn I talk about my own race. You know.
What difference does it make, Guy?
Yeah, what difference does it make?
Look, I'm a liberal as far as it goes, but now, you know, white man got to stick together. Don't you think a white man got to stick together?
No, I don't think a white man got to stick together. I think a white man got to say what a white man got to say. And I'm telling you now, even what you're talking about anyway. Yeah, boy, you've been hanging with Rick Perry too long, man.
Look, I'd rather hang out with Rick Perry than hanging out with I don't hang with Rick Perry. I'm talking about Judd Gregg. That's my friend. You hang out with Rick Perry.
No, I do not hang out with Rick Perry. I hang out with Judd Gregg.
You said Judd Gregg a scum-sucking dog.
Yeah, you did say that.
No, I did not. Well, if I said that, I meant Rick Perry.
For a half an hour, you called Judd Gregg a scum-sucking dog and the reason why America will become a communist dictatorship.
Well, I meant Rick Perry.
You got to say what you mean, because you didn't say what you meant, okay?
Why don't you go over and scope out Rosie's breast again, okay, man? Go get yourself a double cup.
I'm not a gun. Look at I have gotten along with you a long time.
Okay, I'm going to separate you two guys because it's turning into a fight. So, Kurt or Guy or whoever.
I'm going to say, Guy, you go get a double gobble.
I'll go get a gun. Forget it.
I sent him away. He's going to go out. Look, the whole point I'm trying to make here, Phil, I know you want to take a phone call too, is the idea that President Obama is not the one. He stood up like a man and he got health care and the rest of these dogs. They don't want a black man passing that health care. They want it to be, they can't stand the idea that a black president come in there and kick the ass and change the way America deals with health care for the very first time in the history of the country and got the country caught up with the rest of the world. Because America was, we were sucking it behind Canada, for God's sake. And let me tell you what, I love this country so much. When I found out that Canada had a health care plan that does work, I felt sick to my stomach. That's how much I love America, that we're going to sit there and suck hind you know what behind Canada, you know. That ain't no good. That ain't no good.
All right, Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk about health care, Obamacare, and the very, very violent rhetoric behind all of it. Let's go to another phone call here. I got Austin Amarca talking to us here from Lancaster, California. Austin, go ahead.
Well, listen, these two gentlemen here have called into question the patriotism of Rick Perry and other people that I think fight for this country. You know, I'm just a working man. I'm doing everything that I can to feed my family and to try to make a good life for my family. And now along comes Obama telling me I've got to buy insurance. I can't afford it. Okay?
Well, you done yelling at me. I'm going to check it out, man, on that healthcare.gov.
At a healthcare.gov. All right, I went on that website and look it up. I couldn't figure that out. The thing was, it was crashing all the time. I couldn't stay online.
Well, but you were looking for it, though, weren't you?
Yeah, I looked for it. I'd be crazy not to look for it, you know.
Well, then what you mean about Barack Obama making you do something you can't afford? If you're looking up that healthcare.
Yeah, I'm looking at healthcare. I'm going to look for it, you know.
Well, do you agree with healthcare or don't you? The national healthcare, don't you?
I don't agree with national healthcare.
Then why are you on that healthcare.gov looking at it, trying to find a plan?
Because Obama said I've got to do it, you know. And
your family, let me ask you something, Austin. Your family covered the health insurance?
No, my family not covered. I can't afford it.
Well, don't you think that's a little irresponsible, sir?
I can't die irresponsible. I take care of my family. Okay?
Yeah, except if they all get sick, you got to throw them on the mercy of a hospital or a doctor or something because you can't afford it.
I'll find a way to pay for it. Don't worry about it.
Well, that's famous last word, son. That's famous last word. You don't know whether you're going to be able to afford it. You don't know whether you're going to afford a haircut before too long, you know, the way things are going. So I suggest,
I went on that healthcare.gov. I couldn't figure it out. I don't know when Link went where and everything else. If I can figure out how to play a Madden, or I can figure out how to go on a porn website, why can't I figure out healthcare.gov?
Well, that's just it. You figure out how to go on a porn site. So if you just consider healthcare.gov another porn site, I think you'll be able to work it out just good.
You tell me I got to pretend it's a porn site.
Well, that's the way you're going to figure it out. And that's the way that you've been figuring it out for a long time, you know.
Austin, good luck with that. Pretend it's a porn site? Okay. World famous Phil Henry show with Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy here as we enter our final segment of this hour talking about Obamacare. You know, we've been talking about the government shutdown. We talked about the programs that have been shut down. We're talking about the rhetoric surrounding the shutdown and the rhetoric surrounding Obamacare. We just had Pastor William Renick on to talk about how he was forced out of an audience with the Queen by her bodyguard, which he thinks the guy's a scum-sucking dog. And now we have Austin Amarca, who can't figure out the website, healthcare.gov, unless he imagines it to be a porn site. In any event, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. All right, welcome back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. I thank Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton for being on the line with us over the last hour and for the phone calls and for all of that other stuff. Margaret?
Well, so how do you feel about it again, Phil? Because we've had an awful lot of rhetoric, and Pastor Renick, in this last hour, we heard a man dragged away from the phone by his wife. We heard another man saying that he was trying to get health care, even as he doesn't approve of it. What are your feelings?
Yeah, what are your feelings about it?
I told you what my feelings are. I told you what my feelings are, you know.
Well, what are your feelings?
I told you what my feelings are the following. My feelings are what just about everybody else that's got a half a brain in their head have been saying. This is a done deal. What the hell is wrong with these guys? They're trying to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat because they feel that in their minds they have a chance to somehow stall and bring to its knees the entire apparatus of the United States government and change the minds of other lawmakers, and in the process change the mind of the president, who said he's going to veto any bill that came to him, turning back any aspect of the health care law. They feel that they're going to win a public relations battle. They feel they're going to win back the hearts and minds of the American people. They've got some idea based upon, I don't know what, I swear to God, I'm not joking when I say maybe they're drinking too much. I saw this thing about them boozing it up, which didn't bother me at all. I mean, if they're boozing it up, they're boozing it up. Look, a guy's entitled to have a drink. a man or a woman, when they're working late. I got no problem with that. The Congress of the United States has been sucking that booze down ever since the Congress started. They had a bar in the back of the United States Senate and the House of Representatives for years. Years! You know, Daniel Webster. You think of the greatest orators in the history of the United States Congress, Daniel Webster, Stephen Douglas, William Jennings Bryan. You think of anybody you want to mention, and these guys were in the back fortifying themselves, you know, with some of that natural Kentucky sipping bourbon and creek water, y'all. Oh, yeah. And get a load of that. You think these guys today can hold the fort, you know, filibuster, and they're doing this and that? First of all, we got the most boring pack of bastards I've ever heard in my life speaking in that Congress. There were guys in the United States Congress that this speech was 5 hours. That wasn't a filibuster. That's what the speech was. They used to pack the rafters. The public section of the Senate and in the House of Representatives would be overflowing when they knew that Douglas was speaking, Webster would be speaking, William Jennings Bryant would be speaking, John Calhoun, you know, any of these men who had their reputations preceded them, which, by the way, one of them was not Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln spent a very limited time in the United States Congress. Very limited time. One of the greatest presidents, perhaps the greatest that we've ever had, spent about as much time in the U.S. Congress as, guess what, Barack Obama. But you can't get anybody to, you can't get people to think sensibly about this president because they're just weirded out, and I don't give a damn what anybody says. I've been living in this world long enough to know, and I've been around white people long enough to know, the hang-up they've got more than anything else is a black president. What do you think, man, when you hear this guy, this Newt Gingrich with the American president? Gingrich, you are really you talk about a low-lying dog, you know.
Well, you don't want to get on the same manner as man everybody else doing.
Don't get into the low-lying dog thing.
Well, what is it with these people? Do you honestly think that your racism is, like, hidden? You think that you're fooling somebody? You think you're, well, wow, do you think so? Gee, Mr. Gingrich. Do you think that you're going to sit down and look at somebody square in the face and say, but this has nothing to do with color? Buddy, go sell that to somebody else. You'll never sell it to me, because if it isn't about color, then you're even dumber than I thought you were. You got to be. If it's not about color, you must be the world's dumbest guy, because if Gingrich is saying things like, this is an American president... Look, Gingrich, we all know what you think about Western culture, and we all know what you think about... And you have put on, from time to time, the face of the reasonable man. But the voter has gotten a good, deep whiff of you, and you stink like a pile of you-know-what, man. Nobody wants you. Nobody wants you for president. They didn't want you for Speaker of the House. They kicked your ass out of there. Everybody has gotten a good, deep whiff of you, and it's just as stale and foul-smelling as anything, okay? So you're done. And who's next on the list? And I just got done talking to Matt. I said, I'm sorry, man, that guy Boehner.
Well, you called Boehner a big P-word, and I think some of that may be true. But he has to go along with the wishes of his party.
Wait, hold on. What do you mean he's got to go along with it?
Did not go along with the wishes of the party on account of it's a minority.
Bud, why don't you back off before you get me pissed, okay?
That's a minority.
Look, Bud's making a good point. What do you mean go along with the wishes of the party? He's the Speaker of the House. He's got a minority of people that are telling him how it's going to go, when it's going to go, and what's going to go. You talk about a group of people that have no respect for democracy. They got no freaking respect for the democratic process at all. There's a handful of these people, and they're saying, the American people don't like it. The American people don't like it. Are you an idiot or something, man? They crashed the website yesterday. They're trying to get online to figure out how they can buy insurance for their families, okay? They want to access the healthcare exchange. Now, understand, that's not the only place you go to get healthcare insurance, to get health insurance. You can go to your own company. You can go to other... You don't have to access healthcare.gov. Healthcare.gov is the insurance exchange. It is like a large brokerage house, if you will, where you can shop different plans and you can shop different prices. And it's a pretty easy thing to understand because we use brokers all the time in our lives. We use real estate brokers, for instance. We use stock brokers. We understand how it works, so don't give me this bull crap like we don't understand it. We certainly do understand it. Now you got a lot of people that are accessing this, and they want to use this. Now, whether it's Fox News or whoever the hell, everybody's looking for any little thing that they can claim victory. They can say, well, look at this. Oh, my God. The website crashed. It's got glitches. And Fox News, which I used to admire. I mean, I really thought those guys had it going on over there. They're nothing but another MSNBC on the right, man. They're worse than World.net. They're strictly from hunger, those bozos. And those jackasses, Gretchen Carlson, one of the world's great minds, she has her own show now, and she's saying things like, what do you think about them cheerleading for the healthcare thing over at NBC? Well, geez, it's happens to be the law of the land. All they're doing is trying to help people get healthcare insurance that they have to have, you know. And whether you can afford it or not, you're entitled to it. That's the whole thing, man. You dig it?
Well, Phil, now that you've given your speech, you're going to have an awful lot of people upset with you. And I believe that in the long run, it would have been better had you just gone and done, I don't know, if you played music or something.
Okay. Coming up next hour, we're going to be talking with Margaret. We're going to be doing... Are we doing the Lumineers thing?
Yes.
Okay, great. So speaking of trivial...
That is not trivial.
Yeah, it was trivial. We're going to talk about the Lumineers and their song that is being used by a commercial company or some crap. And Vernon Dozier is back with us on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. He's going to be talking about the fact that he's dysfunctional and his sex drive is so powerful that it overwhelms Viagra. It just gives up.